Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, who made us and put us in this day, and from Jesus, our Savior, the newborn, laid in a manger in Bethlehem. So every year, sometime after Labor Day, there's a great debate that happens in our neighborhood and in around our family tables. And I've even heard it happen in church committees here at Spirit of Joy. And that debate is, when is the right time to start decorating for Christmas? And so I thought Christmas Eve would be a time to get a definitive answer from you. So this is your chance to stand up tall, to raise your arm for when you think is the right time. Is there anybody out there once Labor Day hits, it's Christmas time? No, there's nobody. Well, I think those people, this is a no shame zone. So you can, after the last Halloween candy has been eaten. Yep. Okay. Carrie, be bold. And oh, yep. Cheryl. How about after the last dessert is finished on Thanksgiving? Is that the time? Yep. Okay. You don't start until Christmas Eve. Like you just got the decorations out tonight. Anybody there? Yeah. That's kind of the traditional way. You watch some of the old Christmas movies and the tree wasn't decorated until Christmas Eve. Thanks for that. I'm really interested in a different question though tonight. And that question is, when is it time to put Christmas away? When do we put Christmas aside? When do we box up Christmas and put it back in the basement or the crawl space or the garage? Is it after the benediction in just a few minutes? Is it after the presents have all been unwrapped? Is it when the Christmas cookies are gone or the lefse has been eaten? Is it, according to the church calendar, January 6th is pretty definitive in the church calendar. That's when the next season begins. When do we set aside Christmas for another year? Or does Christmas just fade away when we resume our regular routines again? Or does Christmas just kind of disappear when the fog of our usual anxieties and fears and sorrows descend? One of my clearest Christmas memories goes quite a few years back, more than 50 years. And I'm not sure about you, those of you who might have memories that go back that far, I remember those things in snapshots rather than in videos. So 50 years ago tonight, or 50 years ago at Christmas, so it'd be tomorrow night, I'm standing outside my grandparents' house. It's in south of the Twin Cities, so it's cold. The picture window is behind me. I see there's the tree there. Some of my family still inside. I'm carrying presents from the front door to our cold car. You can see your breath. I'm looking through the branches of the birch tree in their front yard to see the stars. And I'm thinking about the last 24 hours. And I loved it so much that I don't know if it was a prayer or a plea or just something I threw at the heavens, like, God, why can't days like this last longer? Starting to understand how little control I have over my present and my future, that there are things I like to know that I can take charge of, but time would not be one of them. How, Lord, why can't this be a 48-hour day? Or maybe the joyous events of these past hours last for a week, or maybe a lifetime. And it wasn't about the presents, though I'm sure there were plenty of those. It was about going to candlelight service on Christmas Eve and then getting up early to open presents with my brother and sister and parents, and then having my mom's family come over late Christmas morning for eggnog and pastries, and then in the afternoon going to my grandparents' house and spending time laughing and storytelling and eating and opening presents and playing games. What a great 24 hours. Lord, why can't that time last? How do I hang on to Christmases like this one? I want Christmas to mean as much now as it did then. I want to experience that kind of joy. Now, that Christmas was before my grandpa had a very serious stroke. It was before my mom was diagnosed with MS. I learned later that my parents and the other adults in that circle were carrying their own scars and burdens. It wasn't so carefree as I might have imagined, as it was for me. It wasn't so easy. The question still persists. How do we hang on to the joy of those kinds of Christmases? I wonder about the shepherds. I wonder if they relived that first Christmas. You know, it began as a pretty ordinary day out in the fields watching their flocks. I've never been a shepherd. I don't know how much work it is. It doesn't seem to be like a particularly stimulating occupation. Although there were predators involved, certainly, and they had to keep the flock rounded up so as not to lose valuable sheep. The day became night. They counted again, started some fires to keep themselves warm, to beat back the chill of the night. And then this blazing glory drowned out the fires wherever they were standing by them. And surely the shepherds must have dropped to their knees and buried their faces in the grass, the cold grass of the pasture, and then heard the voice of the angel, "Don't be afraid. I am bringing you, ordinary shepherds, good news of great joy for all people. Unto you has born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And you will find him." In fact, I want you to go now to Bethlehem. You'll find this baby lying in a feeding trough on a bed of straw. Go there. Go now and tell his parents and tell others what you have heard and what you have seen. And then a whole choir of angels shows up, singing glory to God in the highest and peace to God's people. And you know, you've heard it many times before, I suspect. The shepherds go and they find the baby just as they were promised. And they tell Mary and Joseph and anybody else who happened to gather there what they had heard and what they had seen. And Mary's pondering these things in her heart. And then we wonder what happens to the shepherds after that. They're never heard from again. We don't know what they do with the information. We're not sure if they relive this event next week, next month, next year, 50 years. Luke does tell us they leave that manger glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. And I can't imagine it just ended that night. I imagine they kept on telling the story again and again and again of the baby they met and of the promise they were told. And I suspect they carried that news with them for the rest of their lives and perhaps longed to relive that night. But here's the thing about Christmas. Even though it's an old story, Even though the events we hear about happened a long time ago, even though it's sometimes pretty hard to believe that the Creator of all things would show up as a baby laid in a manger in some little town in the Middle East. But that's the promise. And the promise is also that the story never ends, that Jesus never stops coming to us, being born and in us, even when that child was grown up, even when he grew to be a man and proclaimed that the kingdom of God was here in him and he was put to death, even then the story would not be stopped. The baby born in a manger keeps on coming and keeps being born in us. And so neither you nor I can put Christmas away. You know, we can put away the trappings, and in a few days or maybe a week or whenever it is for you, we'll put away the decorations and maybe the leftover fruitcake that nobody wants to finish and whatever else is sitting out in the home or home, some of the candles. But there's no way we can put away the message and the messenger, because that's here to stay. Christmas keeps coming. The light keeps shining. Hope keeps arriving. In Jesus born in Bethlehem. Another Lutheran pastor, his name Richard Lisher, writes this: "At Christmas, we insist that a message has reached us from the throne of God and keeps on reaching us. And it's not just about the message, it's the messenger. The messenger is the message. God come to us in the flesh. And we also believe that this journey is perennial. It happens every year for us, and it has infinite powers of extension. It's not just for us, it's for anyone and everyone in all places. So that means we don't have to find that perfect Christmas and try to relive that past. We don't have to look backwards. We don't have to hang on so tightly to the gifts and memories of a single or several Christmases past. Christmas keeps coming. The light keeps shining. Hope keeps arriving. And since that Christmas, those many years ago, I've been fortunate to treasure many more. And I hope that you have too. But it's also true that along the way, over those decades, there's been some Christmases that we've just endured. We've just tried to fight our way to the end of it until things got back to normal. Wendy Donnellan decorated our trees this year, and Wendy likes to tell stories in her decorating. There's a little bit about that in the bulletin, and she got me thinking about our tree and how our tree at home really tells a story. It's filled with decorations over the past years. There's this decoration, and these two folks were on that tree in the picture window in my grandparents' house because that's where it came from. I helped my grandma put those on the tree, and then it went to my parents' house, and now it's at our house, and it connects me with that night and those nights in the past. This sad-looking reindeer has seen better days, but sat on the mantle above our fireplace and watched over our family open presents and laugh and eat and tell stories. Over the years, there have been more additions to the family, the first Christmas together and our two boys. And over those decades, there's also been subtractions. And I suspect that's also true for you. Those grandparents that live in that house have long since died. Both my mom and my dad and Catherine's mom and dad are no longer alive to join us at our Christmas table. Along the way, there was a newborn who didn't see her first Christmas. And there are many saints in this congregation and other congregations where we've lived and served who no longer add their song to those of ours. Some Christmases you just endure. But as the years keep passing, there is also new life that comes, new life to families, new life to congregations. Christmas keeps on coming. So do not be afraid, people of God. Do not be afraid of what is past or of what is present or of what is to come. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born today a Savior. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His name is Hope. Let me take you on one more trip back through time. And now, not just 50 years, we're going to go back 500 years. And I suspect that nobody 500 years from now will remember what we did here tonight. But in this particular location, things are remembered because there was a pastor by the name of Martin Luther who was too sick to go to church on Christmas Day. And so his congregations decided to come to him and gathered to hear him tell the story of the Christmas gospel. And Luther preached, as he did all the time, to those who gathered in that space. And he told the Christmas story in a new way. He brought it into the lives of those people he gathered. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds became German peasants. So Luther drew them into the story and then told them to come even closer and said, imagine a stage. It's black, it's dark, except for at the center of the stage, there is a manger. And in the manger, there is a child. And now imagine that there's a light shining on this child and everything else is darkness. Because outside of the light, There are the forces of evil. There is the power of death. There is the pandemic. There is all the things that make us afraid. And yet in the middle of it all sits the manger with the light that shines. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And then Luther leans in closer one more time to those who have gathered in that space. And he issues a challenge. He says, now, if this is true, let everything else go. If this is true, if this light indeed shines in the darkness, if God indeed has come through this child, let everything else go, because this is what matters most. If this is true, then we might put away the trappings of Christmas, but the child will stay in the middle of all things to restore and to renew and to heal. Hope has arrived in the darkness for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.